sincerely thank all of the assembled devotees for so kindly coming to Sri Radha Vrindavan Chandra's Sunday festival. Today, I'd like to speak on the subject of a particular sentence spoken by Srila Prabhupada, because I feel that this subject, although not often discussed, is one of the most frequent and essential themes within all the spiritual literatures of the world, especially Srimad Bhagavat and the Puranas. Prabhupada gives his definition of greatness. One's greatness has to be estimated by one's ability to tolerate provoking situations. Please repeat after me. One's greatness has to be estimated by one's ability to tolerate provoking situations. Very well. I am tolerating a provoking situation. Thank you, Prabhu. Srila Prabhupada gives the example that a small flame can be blown out by even a slight breeze. However, the greatest of all luminaries, the sun, is not even slightly disturbed, doesn't even slightly move from its position in the face of the most powerful cyclones, tornadoes, or hurricanes. That is why the sun is greater than the flame. In Srimad Bhagavatam, on the banks of the river Saraswati, a group of great saints and sages were gathered together. They were discussing the topic of greatness. And they wanted to come to some understanding of who the greatest personality in the universe was. There were three opinions. Some said Lord Brahma, others said Lord Vishnu, and others Lord Shiva. And each of them had their reasonings, but they couldn't come to a conclusion. So they deputed Bhrigu Muni, who was son of Brahma, to make a test and evaluate of the three Murtis, Brahma, Vishnu, Maheshwar, who is the greatest. So first he went to the abode of Brahma, his father. And according to etiquette, a son is to offer respects to father. But he didn't offer any respect at all. In fact, he didn't do anything. He didn't say anything. He didn't do anything. He just stood there. And Brahma welcomed him. Oh, my son, I'm so happy you have come. He just stood there. Brahma became so angry with this transgression that he was about to punish him. But somehow or other, because Bhrigu was his son, he controlled his anger and did not do anything. But Bhrigu Muni could see that Brahma was visibly upset, angry. Then he went to the planet of Kailash, where Lord Shiva resides. Lord Shiva is his brother. When Lord Shiva, who was with his consort Parvati, saw that Bhrigu has come, he was so happy, he was overjoyed. My brother, you have come. And he came to embrace him with a big smile, welcoming. And Bhrigu Muni spoke. He said, "Don't you touch me, you filthy person. Look at you. Your body is covered with ashes from crematoriums. You have snakes on your body. You have all bad association. You're filthy. Don't touch me." Hare Krishna. Lord Shiva became so angry, he picked up his trident and was about to kill Bhrigu Muni. But Parvati somehow or other pacified him. "He's your brother. He's your brother. Let it be." So Shiva cooled down. The first offense was a mental offense to Brahma. He didn't offer proper respect. To Shiva, it was a verbal offense. Then he went to Svetadvipa, where Lord Vishnu was sitting on a flower bed with Lakshmi Devi. And as soon as Lord Vishnu saw Bhrigu Muni come in, he got up and said, "Oh, my dear friend, oh great Brahman, you have come. Please, let me welcome you." And Bhrigu Muni just ran up to him, and in a very, very angry disposition, kicked Vishnu in the chest with his foot. He wanted to see how Vishnu would respond to this provoking situation. Lord Vishnu sat Bhrigu down. He said, "Please accept this seat. I'm so honored and so grateful that you have come. You have sanctified my home and my abode by your presence. You are a Brahman, a great Brahman. The water that washes your feet can purify even the holiest places. By your coming here, you have sanctified Vaikuntha. I'm very sorry. I beg forgiveness of you. I did not welcome you properly. I did not offer you proper respect. So you duly punished me by kicking me in the chest. But I'm feeling very much pain in my heart because your foot is so sacred. It is so holy and it is so soft and my chest is so hard that I must have caused you pain. Please let me massage your lotus feet." And Vishnu massaged the feet of Bhrigu Muni. Bhrigu Muni was standing there, seeing the quality of Lord Vishnu. He couldn't even speak. He was absolutely paralyzed with respect. He just stood there like a statue, choked up, the only movement of his body with tears flowing from his eyes. He just had to leave. He went back to the bank of Saraswati and explained to all the saints and sages there about how the three great souls responded to his various tests. And they all came to the conclusion that Vishnu is the supreme of all greatest. His greatness was estimated by his ability to tolerate provoking situations. And then they, amongst themselves, all came to the conclusion that if someone is not of that transcendental state of peace within their heart, how could they give anyone else peace in a provoking situation? Therefore, Vishnu is the supreme worshipable deity of all. Now, in Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, there's a very interesting item that Vrindavan Das Thakur explains. Actually, Lord Chaitanya tells us that in this particular story, Brahma and Shiva are very great souls. They actually were not angry with Bhrigu Muni. They just pretended to be angry because they knew Vishnu's the greatest and they are his servants and they wanted the whole world to know that Vishnu is the greatest. So they purposely failed the test just to glorify the Supreme Personality of God. This is the quality of God. Within human society, greatness means to be godly. To live by this example. And we find this a continuous theme of how different people react to provoking situations. Should we name a few? Srimad Bhagavatam. How the Bhagavatam was spoken. Maharaj Parikshit, such a great king. When he was in the womb of his mother, he was seeing Lord Krishna, taking shelter of the Lord. Such a great devotee. So compassionate. When he was the king, he was willing to give his life, his complete energy, to protect even the most insignificant of his citizens if they were being plundered or abused by another. He declared war against Kali personified because he was causing harm to an innocent cow and bull. That was the character of Maharaj Parikshit. One day he was roaming through the forest and suddenly something happened that was completely out of his character. He became completely overcome with thirst. That's a provoking situation. He was so overcome with thirst. He just was thinking of nothing but getting water. Actually, this is the quality a devotee should have. This type of eagerness for Krishna. Like a person in the desert who could find no shelter anywhere except in water. In the desert of this material existence, we should be longing, striving for Krishna. So he went to the hermitage of Samikrishi. He was a very great Brahmin sage who was sitting in samadhi, meditation. He was oblivious to the external world. And Parikshit Maharaj, after offering his respects to this Brahmin, he requested, please give me some water. I'm dying of thirst. Give me a little water. But Samigrishi was not in this world. He was internally in his meditation. He didn't even recognize that anyone had come to his house. So he just sat there. Now Parikshit Maharaj was temporarily overcome by the illusory energy. By the will of the Lord, obviously. And he became disturbed. He didn't do much. He saw, as he was leaving the hermitage, he said, the Brahmin, because you're in such a high position, you're not even greeting a guest who happens to be the king of the world when he comes to your house. He came under the delusion that that Brahmin was purposely neglecting him out of pride. So he saw a dead snake and lifted it with his bow and put it on the Brahmin's shoulder and walked out. Not much of an offense. Very slight ridicule, that's all. Now, Samigrishi's son, whose name was Sringi, he heard about this. He was a young boy, but he had tremendous brahminical powers. In those days, if you were born in a family, you would inherit the great powers of your family's opulence, and in this case with Brahmins, brahminical power. When he heard that his father was insulted in this small way, he was so outraged, He just lost control of his anger. And to show off to his young friends, he brought them all together, sipped water, and proclaimed a curse. Because this king has insulted a Brahmin, he has no right to be in his position. I curse that on the seventh day from today, he will be killed by the snake bird Taraka. Hare Krishna. Now, this is how he responded to a provoking situation. And what was the result? The result of Sringi's inability to tolerate a provoking situation is the whole Brahmin caste became very much compromised and full of degradation. And not only that, Parikshit was the only person powerful enough to keep Kali out of the world. It was due to his cursing the king that Kali Yuga began. And all the qualities of quarrel and hypocrisy attacked this planet. And is still attacking. That is the result of one person's inexperienced ability to tolerate a provoking situation. In contrast, King Parikshit was cursed to die in 7 days. That's a very provoking situation. When he heard about it, he was happy. He accepted, it's the will of the Lord. Nothing happens by chance. This is a message of the Lord to me. It's time for me to become very serious about preparing for the purpose of life. Ante Narayana Smriti. The goal of life is, at the time of death, we remember the Supreme Lord. Antakali chamame vasmaran vaktva kalevaram. Krishna tells, if you remember me at the time of death, you will come to me without fail. It is the final exam of life. Padam padam yadvi padam natesham. And in this world, that final exam, or any other type of preliminary exam, could come upon anyone at any time, anywhere. There is danger at every step in this world, even if we're most careful. Parikshit Maharaj understood, atato brahma jigyasa. Human life is meant for self-realization. It's not meant to be a king. It's not meant to be a family man. It's meant for self-realization. And all of the other aspects, socially, occupationally, they are all meant to facilitate our self-realization. So Parikshit Maharaj considered this the Lord's mercy. He considered Sringi to simply be an instrument of Krishna's blessings upon him, to become very serious in his life. And that last 7 days, he decided to utilize exclusively to cultivate bhakti, or love of God. When I was young, in the 60s, do you remember the television show Run for Your Life? It was the number one show. She's so transcendental, she didn't even know what it's television. And then but it was about a wealthy man, and he was told he was going to die in 1 year. So he wanted to utilize his life for the ultimate purpose, sense gratification. And every week, because it was a weekly series, every week for 1 hour, you saw him with a beautiful French girl skiing in the French Alps one week and doing all kinds of exciting adventures, and another time he was with a Jamaican girl scuba diving in the Caribbean, and another week he was, every week he was doing some wonderful adventure with another beautiful woman, enjoying like anything. And people were thinking, this man is really together. He knows how to utilize life qualitatively to the maximum degree. That's why it was the number one show. He became the hero, the idol. He's the best enjoyer. He wanted to pack in 75 years of enjoyment in that one year. Just concentrate. In fact, the show was so popular, it made so much money with the sponsors and the commercials, that they had to extend his life another year. And they extended his life another year. I think it went on for 4 years. Until the ratings went down, then they let him die. But here is Pariksit Maharaj. He has 7 days. And he vows, I will fast to death. No eating, no drinking, and I will not sleep. I'll leave all my royal garments behind and just put on the robes of a mendicant. And I will be continuously in the association of saintly people, hearing about Krishna. With this vow, he went to the bank of the Ganges with a humble heart. Now, he was the king of the world. He could have sent massive armies to imprison, torture, and execute this little Brahmin boy. Right? He had that power. He was also a mystic. He could have pronounced a curse to Sami Grishi and his son and did something to them. He didn't retaliate. He accepted it as the mercy of God. In fact, Sami Grishi, when he heard about this, oh, he was brokenhearted. He came out of his meditation. He saw the snake. Didn't think any of it. Just went like that. And then his son came and told him, this is what I have done. You have just destroyed the Brahminical class. You've destroyed the morality, the ethics of the world. This king was the representative of God. What have you done? Shame. Shame, shame on us. He couldn't even look at the face of Pariksit Maharaj because of what had been done. For this minor little thing of a snake, it's just a nothing. You've killed a man? He sent a messenger, and when Pariksit Maharaj got that news, he welcomed it as Krishna's signal that he must become very, very serious about his spiritual life. Srila Prabhupada explains that Pariksit Maharaj knew as a fact he would have at least 7 days to live. But there's not a single person in this entire world that knows with guarantee that they even have 7 minutes to live. We take it for granted. But we do not know. How we utilize our time is the sign of our intelligence and our sincerity. To waste time means to waste our life. A human existence is so precious, and every moment as a human being is the most precious thing in the entire creation. Because when you lose a moment, you cannot buy it back for any amount of wealth. So Pariksit Maharaj sat on the bank of the Ganges, and there he met his Guru Maharaj, Sukadev Goswami. And with all humility, with eagerness to hear about Krishna, he inquired from him, what is the essence of all religions? What is the purpose of human life? And what is the main duty of a person about to die? In provoking situation, One person responded with ego and anger, and he's condemned today, even 5,000 years later. And Parikshit Maharaj is everyone's great hero. It was because of his conscience that Srimad Bhagavatam took birth in this world, because he responded without anger. But when in a provoking situation, he responded with forgiveness, with patience, with tolerance, and with faith in God. Another example, Ambarish Maharaj. Ambarish was also a king. He was fasting for the benefit of the world. And according to the particular rules, he had to break his fast by a particular time. He was just about to break his fast. The time was just about coming. And Durvasa Muni came in. Hare Krishna. Durvasa Muni came with many others too. And Ambarish Maharaj offered him prasad. He said, I will have prasad, but first I want to take my bath in the river Jamuna. This took place at Madhuban in Vrindavan, it happened. Brajbhumi. So he went to take his bath. And the Brahmin priest came to Ambarish Maharaj and said, the deadline to break your fast is now. You have to break it now. But Ambarish said, but it's the law of hospitality that a host never eats before he feeds his guest. But you have to do something. You fasted for a whole year. It will all be nullified. So with the permission of the Brahmins and their blessings, he took a little charanamrit, a little drop of water, and drank it. Now Durvasa Muni heard about that. Now he didn't hear about it. He was such a mystic, he actually understood it through his mystic vision. This outraged him. Ambarish drank a drop of water before he fed me a full meal. This is outrageous. So he went running to that place. His eyes were red with anger. He started blaspheming Ambarish. You have no control of your senses. You have no morality. You have no ethic. You have no respect. You deserve to die. And today you will meet the court of Yamaraj. And he took a hair from his head and smashed it on the ground, and by his mystic powers, chanting a mantra, a gigantic fiery demon emanated from his hair. It's a good story, Carolyn. And he told the demon, kill him! And Ambarish Maharaj was completely composed. He just stood there with his palms folded, sincerely praying within the core of his heart to Lord Krishna, if you want to kill me, take me. Through whatever agency, if you want to kill me, I'm yours, take me. If you want to protect me, I have nothing to fear from this gigantic monster. That was his faith. That was his tolerance. Because he was praying to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in a mood of complete surrender, Krishna protects his devotees. Krishna sent Sudarshan Chakra. The Sudarshan Chakra came and annihilated that fiery monster. But that's not all. It attacked Durvasa Muni. And Durvasa Muni started. He didn't stand there with folded palms and say, Krishna, if you want to take me, please take me. He ran for his life. He ran and ran, and Chakra was running right behind him. He ran and ran, and Chakra was still right behind him. He could feel the heat right just inches behind his back. And then running wasn't working, so by his mystic power, he started to fly from one planet to another. He went to Indra's abode. Indra said, Vishnu's chakra, I cannot help you. He went to Brahma's abode. Vishnu's chakra, nothing I can do to help you. He went to Shiva's abode. Vishnu's chakra, nothing I can do for you, my friend. Even though you're my plenary expansion. And ultimately, he went to Vaikuntha. He went to Krishna's, Vishnu's abode, and he fell at Vishnu's feet, begging, please save me, take your chakra away, no one else can save me except you. He said, I can't save you. You offended my devotee. Sadhunam hridayam mayam, sadhunam hridayam tvaham. The sadhu has given his life to me, his heart to me, therefore I give my heart to my devotee. My devotee knows no one but me, but I know no one but my devotee. That is love. I have no power to call back my chakra because you offended my devotee. The only person who can save you is Ambarish. Fall at his feet with genuine sincerity. Beg forgiveness, and then you will be saved. So he went all the way back to Madhuban. And he fell at Ambarish Maharaj's feet. And Ambarish Maharaj, of course, fell at his feet. And he begged forgiveness. And Ambarish Maharaj, well, forgive for what? He said, you haven't eaten yet. You've been away for a year. Ambarish fasted that whole year because he wouldn't eat anything except that drop of water until he fed his guest. And his guest still hadn't eaten yet. That was his forgiveness. That was his respectability. And Ambarish was a powerful kshatriya. He wasn't just some little skinny sadhu in the bank of the river. He was a powerful kshatriya with armies and everything. But tolerating an offense against himself with forgiveness, with respect, he honored and welcomed Durvasa Muni back. And he personally prayed to Sudarshan Chakra to spare him. And then fed him prasad. Provoking situation. A slight offense to Durvasa Muni, and he flared up. He couldn't control his mind. And a major, horrible offense to Ambarish Maharaj. And he was tolerant. He was patient. He was forgiving. He was concerned with another person's welfare. That is greatness. Greatness is not how much money you have. Greatness is not how much fame and prestige you have in this world. Greatness is not how much knowledge you have in academic learning. Greatness is not in how much you know about spiritual subject matters intellectually. Greatness is not in bodily strength or physical beauty. These are the things that people of the world consider great, but they're superficial. Real greatness is one's character, one's integrity. Real greatness is to be estimated by one's ability to tolerate provoking situations. These great personalities, we can speak about Prahlad and Hiranyakashipu. How Hiranyakashipu was so angered because Prahlad just didn't obey him. And how Prahlad, even though his father tried to murder him in thousands of ways with cruelty, when ultimately he was always the well-wisher. He was always offering his respects to his father, praying for his father. And when his father finally met his own end by the grace of Narasingadev, Prahlad didn't ask anything from the Lord as a benediction except, give liberation to my father. In the Christian religion, what is the sign of Christianity? They could have chosen so many signs, because Lord Jesus Christ did so many wonderful miracles in his life, and he spoke so many wonderful, wonderful lessons in his life. But what's so prominent about his greatness? The cross. It's on the top of almost every church. It's on the over the heart of almost every Christian is the cross. Why the cross? He displayed his greatness by how he tolerated a very, very provoking situation. And we worship him, even 2,000 years later, for that. He did some things that technically were not acceptable by some people. And he was politically a threat. So unjustly, they tried him, sentenced him, and tortured him. While he was on that cross, by his mystic powers, he could have done anything to those people. He already showed his miracles. Why didn't he do it then? He wanted to show a greater miracle than destroying or creating or healing. Tolerance, forgiveness. The same men that were blaspheming him and torturing him and killing him. He prayed to God, "Forgive them, they know not what they do." He had love for them, forgiveness for them. That is greatness. And it's that greatness of forgiveness that is the very basis of the whole Christian religion. Our beloved Srila Prabhupada, what kind of provoking situation he had to tolerate. Why did Krishna put him through that? We were discussing the other day. He wanted to go to America to preach Krishna consciousness out of total compassion for the suffering souls who were thinking they were happy in this materialistic civilization without Krishna. Spiritually poverty-stricken society, practically. He wanted to give love of God to them. He had such a burning desire. It was the order of his guru. It was the order of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. Why didn't Krishna reciprocate and send him a ticket on Air India to New York City? He didn't. He had to suffer abuse in Bombay. He had to sit on the steps of Sumati Muraji like a beggar, begging for a ticket on a cargo ship. It took approximately 1 month. He had heart attacks, seasickness, paralysis. He was 70 years old. He arrived in America, Butler, Pennsylvania. And there he was living with just totally materialistic people who really didn't care anything for his message. But he charmed their hearts because he was so respectful and kind to them. Then he went to New York City, was living in places like the Bowery. He was homeless, just from one place to another, wherever he could somehow or other survive. He had a ticket to go back. Why did he stay? Krishna put him in that situation to show the power of his compassion, to show his greatness, his willing to tolerate so many provoking situations. His life was threatened. He was ridiculed. He was criticized. Even people of India would give him no support or even appreciation, because they thought it was just a hopeless cause that could never succeed. Krishna revealed his greatness. And we honor and we worship and we love Prabhupada with such gratitude, because he did that not for himself. He did that for us, for you and me. That is greatness. Now, there are many provoking situations that come. Controlling anger is very, very central theme of all of our scriptures. To not respond to difficult situations and become offensive, but to be forgiving and patient. And that's especially necessary in Kali Yuga, because it's the age of quarrel and hypocrisy. Haribo. In order to remain united spiritually, there must be greatness in this sense. These great souls, when they were in difficulties, they turned to Krishna for shelter. They didn't take shelter of material reactions, but they took shelter of their faith. They took shelter of God, and especially they took shelter of God's holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna's making his shelter available to every living being. We all have our free will, whether we want to take shelter of Krishna or whether we want to take shelter of our own mind and all of its ideas. That is greatness. To take shelter of the greatest is greatness. And the most opportune time to take shelter is in provoking situations. That's when our sincerity is tested and examined by Krishna very carefully from within the heart. And if we pass these tests, we are promoted to higher realms of spiritual realization. That is the great gift Srila Prabhupada gave us. He's truly a great saint, and Krishna revealed it in so many extraordinary ways, how he really lived for the welfare of others, lived for the pleasure of God at every moment. We cannot imitate these persons. But Mahajano Yena Gatasa Panta, the path of perfection is not to imitate great souls. The path of perfection is not to try to become great, but to try to emulate the spirit and serve those who are great. Trinadapi sunichena taror ivasihishnana amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. To be humble like a blade of grass, tolerant like the tree, offer all respect to others, and devoid of self-prestige, not expect any respect for oneself. That is greatness. However much you learn, however many other characteristics you have, without that, spiritually, you're not really living in greatness. Without humility, without a genuine, respectful service attitude, spiritual knowledge is not digestible to our heart. We could memorize it with our intelligence. That any academic person can do. But humility, sincerity, simplicity, these are the qualities that are like enzymes that take transcendental knowledge and make it digestible to be assimilated and realized within the heart. And that's what Krishna is looking for. When he sees that we want to follow in the footsteps of great souls in this way, then he gives us himself. He reveals himself in his holy names. Nama Chintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Rasvikra. When we have this spirit of following in the footsteps of the truly great souls, Trinadapi Sunichena Tarori Vasihishna, then Krishna's name reveals his form. His qualities, his characteristics, his abode, his pastimes, reveals our eternal relationship with him in the spiritual world. It is all within the name. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya proclaimed that take this verse, Trinada Pisunichina, and put it on the string of the holy name and keep it always over your heart. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shall we have kirtan at this time? We will have a few minutes kirtan, then we'll take prasad. Could we have harmonium, please?